This Sunday morning, I am inviting you to turn in your Bibles to Colossians, the New Testament letter to the Colossians, chapter 1, one of several passages that I'd like to bring before you. This will be one that I bring towards the end of the sermon this morning, but I'll read it. At the outset, Colossians 1, I'll read from verse 9 through verse 14. Colossians chapter 1, beginning verse 9, this is the word of God. And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Let's pray together. Ask the Lord to bless His word. Our Father, we look forward to, if you are pleased to spare us, so a whole year of sitting together under the preaching of your word, and we know our neediness, the neediness of the preachers and the neediness of the listeners, the hearers of your word preached. Give us all year and give us this hour your spirit. Grant your blessing on your word. It might strengthen us. Do your will. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Sunday of our congregational meetings each year has for some time at Resurrection been called Stewardship Sunday. So at the beginning of the year, the time that people very broadly, even outside of the church, are making resolutions for the year, we have brought in years past, Pastor Rosser and I, an emphasis, a word from the Lord on stewardship of our time and stewardship of our material possessions or our money. A Christian's devotion to Christ is more than those two things, more than his time and money, but you might say it's not a lot more, inasmuch as those are very revealing indicators of where our hearts are. This Sunday and the beginning of this year, Stewardship Sunday, I'm departing from our pattern of recent years. No talk today about financial stewardship in particular. You know, in God's providence, that the series from 2 Corinthians had a sustained emphasis at the end of 2021 on sacrificial giving. So today, I want to speak to you of biblical principles concerning another kind of stewardship, not of money now, not even of time per se, but stewardship of our energies. This is another finite resource that all of us have been given by God that calls for stewardship. We're to be good stewards of our energies for the Lord. Now, let me just explain what I mean by stewarding and stewardship. That's putting to wise use all those resources that God has entrusted to us in ways that glorify His name and advances the kingdom. That's what stewardship is. Anything that we've received from God, and everything we have is received from God, we have been entrusted with it in order to advance His kingdom, ultimately to glorify His name. So stewardship is the intentional use of our resources that way. When I speak this morning of the stewardship of our energies, I'm talking about those various kinds of oomph to use a technical term, that we have to do things. We speak of a diverse kind of energy. We talk about physical energy that we have as human beings. That's the kind of energy that our muscles use, derived from our food and our oxygen. We talk about mental energy that involves clarity of thought that takes energy of a certain kind, creativity that takes a certain kind of mental energy. So we think of physical, mental, we even include our emotional life as something that draws on and uses a certain kind of energy. And energy is something God gives to His people in differing proportions. He gives more or less of it, just like He gives more and less of money, of our talents, and so on. But brothers and sisters, whether you'd consider yourself a high energy or a low energy human being, He calls us all to be good stewards of that most precious resource, because it's our energies that enable us to serve the Lord and to serve Him well. And whether you've ever thought about this before, there's a world of thought about it even outside the church. A lot of studies and reports on how to maximize your own personal productivity, how to harness your personal energies, not only by managing your time, but managing this thing we're calling energy. But I don't know about you, I don't find myself most motivated by those calls to simply realize your own personal potential in the fullest possible way. That's not so motivating. What's motivating to me, by the grace of God, is learning how I can better serve Christ, be more fruitful in His field, in His vineyard. So this morning I have some New Year reminders for being good stewards of your energies. I do believe that many of these things will be simple reminders. I'll be doing so under five heads, so let's get going. We have five things to consider. Number one, good stewardship of our energies requires embracing our creaturely limits. My point here is not so much to remind you that you have limits. You're confronted with that every day. You know that well. But my point here in this first heading is to remind you that it is okay to have those limits. Having only so much strength for each day is not a matter of sinfulness. It's simply a matter of creatureliness. I think that can be missed by us in what is an otherwise very good thing, a well in our hearts of good intentions and ambitions to do, and to do for the Lord. We're constantly reaching and attempting to do things that actually, as it turns out, lie beyond our limitations. The word for that is being human. Now, I'm using the word energy this morning. The Bible doesn't use, at least our English translations don't have the word energy as frequently. They speak more of strength. It's the same principle, it's the same idea. And there's no shortage of meditation in the Bible on the finiteness of our human strength. Whether you're looking at the Psalms that are often laments about this, such as Psalm 38, "My heart throbs, my strength fails me." You know about that. Or Paul in his epistles, as we've seen in this correspondence to the Corinthians, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling." The Scriptures are constantly putting before our eyes the limitations of being human. I just point out to you, we've just come through a season where we've been celebrating and wondering in amazement at the humanity that God has taken to Himself in His Son in the Incarnation. And we've talked about how God, the infinite and unlimited, has joined Himself with all the limitations, the finitude, we'd say, of human nature. And one of the implications of that is that Jesus Christ, in His full humanity, ran out of gas, as we would say. Remember that scene in the boat our Lord with the disciples, the storm. I've pointed this out to you before. Jesus is asleep in the midst of the storm, and his disciples have to wake him up. Why was he asleep? Well, in the context, everything that that Matthew records that he's been doing, constant ministry to people, this deduction seems to be quite obvious. He was exhausted, and so he couldn't, in his human nature, do anything else but sleep. Now, folks, our sin does interplay with our humanity in ways that it didn't for Jesus, and we'll be coming back to decisions we make that are unwise or distractions that are unprofitable. But my point for now is that Jesus himself, in his full humanity, had to allocate his energies. He had to make choices about how he would expend his strength. And everything I'm going to say this morning depends on having a clear-eyed view of how limited our energies actually are. Committing ourselves beyond our strength is our constant danger. It's analogous to spending beyond our income, though I think the reasons for committing, overcommitting, are typically far more noble. I see it a great deal among faithful and fruitful disciples of Jesus, this tendency to overcommit, and you know where that leads. We call it burnout, the kind of collapse that comes when we reach the end of mental or emotional or physical energy. I read a little book over my sabbatical by David Murray. It was a book called Reset, and it's for men, and I think he particularly has pastors in mind. His wife wrote a companion for women that some of the women of the church will be reading this spring. This is what he says about this subject. Although none of us would say that we are unlimited, most of us think we are less limited than we actually are. Such underestimating of our limitations and overestimating of our abilities results inevitably in strain and fraying and eventually breaking. Sure, we can operate at exceptional levels for a short time, but sooner or later, our limits have to be faced. And he goes on to say, this is humility. And this is actually a kind of surrender to who God made us to be. We think of an ordinary a fellow who spends money like he's a millionaire as, well, that's pretty foolish. It's going to catch up with him sooner or later, we say. Well, when mere mortals spend their energies as if they were little gods, it will eventually catch up with us. And it's not good stewardship. So I'm thinking with you about the year that's to come, and I'm inviting you to think of this year in terms of how you will spend, how you will share, how you will invest your life energies, and be thoughtful and prayerful about it at that level. Be realistic about it. Relationships take energy. Projects take energy. New roles take energy. All that we aspire to do takes a certain amount of energy. So as you make your resolutions, ask yourself what investments of your finite mental, emotional, and physical energy are most strategic for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. The more self-aware you are of that question, the more wisely you will steward this most precious of our possessions, our energy. So first, embrace your creaturely limits. Number two, good stewardship of our energies requires tending to the needs of our bodies. I've spoken of differing kinds of energy, mental, emotional, physical, but they all have everything to do with our bodies. I honestly don't know if the angels in heaven get tired. I mean, they wouldn't get tired with bodies. They wouldn't have physical fatigue or mental fatigue in the way we do. They certainly have creaturely limits, we know that, but our limitations, we all know this quite well, manifest very dramatically in the needs of our bodies. And so, stewarding our energy involves stewarding our bodies. Preachers like to point to the life of Elijah in making this observation. Remember in 1 Kings where his ministry servant in Israel has this spectacular moment of confrontation with the prophets of Baal there on Mount Carmel. And fire from heaven has come in response to Elijah's prayer, and the true God has made himself known, and the prophets of Baal have been slaughtered. An amazing story. It's a great triumph for God's servant Elijah. Then Jezebel, the king's wife, sends him a memo. You will be just like one of those prophets that you slaughtered. And Elijah finally collapses. He loses his courage. He's afraid. He runs away. We would say he has a kind of breakdown. He says, Lord, take my life. We read in 1 Kings 19, he lay down, slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water, and he ate and drank, lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. When I preached on that passage some time ago, I spoke of the physical factor in our spiritual faints. And it's very touching that the first thing God does for his fainting servant is attend to his bodily needs. Elijah, you need, in addition to the sleep, you need to eat. That angel is illustrating for us the point I'm seeking to make of stewardship of our bodies in service to the Lord. Now, this is something that there is a worldly counterpart to, and we hear a great deal about it here at the outset of a new year. A motivation to get back in the gym, a motivation to get onto a diet, a motivation perhaps to get a little more sleep, etc. Brothers and sisters, we have the highest possible motivation as Christians to consider these most basic needs of our bodies, because when we get the right kind of food, when we have an appropriate amount of exercise, when we actually get sleep, we have more to offer the Lord Jesus in our service to Him. That part about sleep was especially arresting to me. Again, reading the little book I mentioned, David Murray really goes off, particularly to pastors, about sleep. And it applies to all of us. He has this to say, few things are as theological as sleep. Show me your sleep pattern, and I'll show you your theology. Because we all preach a sermon in and by our sleep. For example, we pride ourselves on sleeping only 5 hours a night. We preach the following truths. He has five. I'm just going to mention the first. Number one, I don't trust God with my work, my church, or my family. Sure, I believe God is sovereign, but He needs all the help I can give Him. If I don't do the work, who will? Particularly again to pastors, he says, although Christ has promised to build His church, who's doing the night shift? Indeed, there is a certain humility and surrender to the Lord and entrusting ourselves and all of our ambitions to the Lord when we lie down in our beds at an appropriate hour and say, I need to care for this instrument, this part of who I am, my body. Brothers and sisters, there's nothing pious about neglecting the physical needs of your bodies. There's been misunderstanding about this in the church. Sometimes there are biographies of some of the saints that seem to encourage this notion that the way to really please the Lord is to abuse your body, to deprive your body. Some of you might need a virtual visitation by Elijah's angel here at the beginning of the year. You need to eat. You need to sleep. You need to take a walk. Psalm 127 is precious in Christ's household. It is vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Tending to the needs of our bodies. Principle number two, in stewarding our energies. Principle number three, good stewardship of our energies requires applying our best energies to our hardest tasks. Once again, this is an insight that is found in countless productivity guides that are available to us in our society. And we're able to discern from all kinds of sources that, well, we have these cycles of productivity. This sounds familiar. In our own days and in our own weeks, we're called to know when we are at most high energy and to arrange the tasks that we have most prioritized for those times. These are all very helpful things. It's made it clear to me that I need to work on my sermons in the mornings. That's where I have most energy. That's where I am doing the most demanding thing, lesson prep and the like. And then those activities that wake me up and that energize me, those are things to do in those otherwise lower energy times. But I've been asked myself recently, is there a biblical principle behind that conventional wisdom? One that Christians in particular would find compelling? I think it's the first fruits principle, but applied to our energy rather than our money. Think of it this way. Exodus 23, verse 19. It's talking about giving the Lord, and it's talking about our material resources, which in an agrarian society would involve crops. That's the material resource primarily. And Exodus 23 says, "The best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God." And you know how the Old Testament people of God were called to give the first and the best of all they had to the Lord. We would say they were to give the cream of the crop. Now, there were all kinds of ways, good and appropriate, that they could dispose of their harvest. But God had a claim on a portion of it, the best of it, the first of it. I think we see that principle in those realms of our time and our money in the practices of the New Testament church. We give the first day of every week to the Lord, first fruits in our time. We give the first, before we pay our bills or all our other things, we pay the tithe, the 10% first to the Lord. That's our first fruits in our money. What does this look like with regard to our energies? Here's what I would submit to you. It means devoting our best energies to the hardest parts of our service to the Lord. Have you noticed this? The hardest things we do tend to be the things where God's claim on our service is clearest. The hard stuff is also some of the clearest of all the things God calls us to. It's hard to pray and to study God's Word. That should be done with the best of our energies. It's hard to carry out the demands of our callings. In particular, parts of our callings have some of the hardest things we do. You can name the things in the vocations God has given you, men and women, that are the hardest. And they're also, aren't they, the clearest of all the things you know God is calling you to? It's hard to do people work, whether it's with your family, with your neighbors, with the members of this church, the Great Commission work, the people work. Brothers and sisters, a lot of ways that our physical and mental and emotional energies can be legitimately directed, but those hard things that we do for the Lord should be first in line. Children, here's your word. For 2022, here's a resolution for you. Do hard things first. Kids, is math your hardest subject? Just a hunch. Do your math first when your energy is best. Oh, wait, is memorizing those history facts, is that your hardest thing? Do the hardest thing first when you have the most energy. Or is it the chores that Dad gave you to do? Do it first. That, kids, that's what we're talking about, stewarding your strength. And it pleases the Lord. It shows Him you're giving Him the best of your oomph. And you're spending the leftover, what remains of your energy, to play Pac-Man. You do play Pac-Man now, right? I mean, everything else in the 80s is back. Isn't Pac-Man back? I don't know. I didn't check that before I said that. That was for kids, but it wasn't just for kids. I haven't outgrown this resolution or the need for it. Hard things first, for Jesus' sake. Stewardship principle number 4. Good stewardship of our energies requires self-discipline over our more trivial pursuits. Now, surely, this is something truly unprecedented about our age. Limitless avenues open to us for expending our mental and emotional energies in relatively frivolous ways. Surely that's something new in human history. No previous generation, at least so dramatically, confronted with this. I just remind you, it does take energy to keep up with everyone on Facebook, to watch every trending or viral video, to read every last bit of gossip in the blogosphere, whether it's political gossip, there's a lot of political gossip, ecclesiastical gossip, it's a lot of that, and just gossip. It takes energy. Because there's an opportunity cost, every investment we make of our energies, just like money spent in one place is not money spent in another place, energy invested in one place is not energy invested in another. Listen to that opportunity cost in Proverbs 28, verse 19. Whoever works his land will have plenty of bread, but he who follows worthless pursuits will have plenty of poverty. Hear the wise man comparing two kinds of expenditure of energy. There's working the land, and that first kind of energy is rewarded by God. There is something called worthless pursuits, and God's judgment comes in the form of poverty. Now, this is not quite a rant against modern technological devices and their distractive ability. Not quite. But brothers and sisters, it's a reminder that just like you can waste time and money, you can waste your energies. You can allow countless diversions of the modern life to sap your strength to do better things. When does legitimate recreation become a worthless pursuit in the words of Proverbs 28? Well, let me just make this, I've done this before, let me make this distinction. I hope it will be helpful. Legitimate recreation is so vitally important in our lives because it's restorative of our energies. Friday, Saturday, Sunday are my high energy days. It's a big push, the end of the week and the beginning of the new week for me. Sometimes Friday night just watching a movie with the family is the best thing I can do to get to Sunday night. It's restorative of my energies. Somebody likes to work puzzles. Somebody else likes to play the video game. Someone else likes to read a novel. There's a vital place for these wholesome and legitimate recreations as they restore us to our energies to serve the Lord. But you know, recreations at some point become not restorative. They rob us. They distract us. They make us unhappy in our service. They siphon off our energy. So, the beginning of a new year, a good time to take stock of the waste in our lives. Ways in which we're throwing away something hard to nail down, our precious energy and trivial pursuits. I'm asking you, brothers and sisters of Resurrection, beginning of 2022, to think of your lives from the vantage point of eternity. What from that perspective will seem utterly frivolous in your life now? You have such weighty and wonderful work to do as the people of God, a city wall to build in Nehemiah terms and to defend. So don't tire yourself out on trivial pursuits. Weary yourself in pursuit of the worthiest of endeavors. And that weary part leads me to the fifth principle of good stewarding of our energies. Good stewardship of our energies requires seeking the strength of the Lord. Now is the time I get to remind you of something that's simply wonderful. It's truly supernatural. It's one of the best things about having a relationship with Jesus in the midst of an exhausting life. It's in the words of Psalm 28, the Lord is the strength of his people. Here's what that means. The level of energy that you have each day to serve the Lord is not merely the sum of good sleep in the night and good metabolism in the day. God works through those means, to be sure. We should not be presumptuous to ignore those means, but he also, brothers and sisters, he also promises to work in more supernatural ways. I'll let Isaiah 40 sum up all the testimony of the Old Testament in this regard. He gives power to the faint. You could translate that energy. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What is this promise about? It's about God's commitment to see us in our neediness of strength, of power, of energy, and to supply it for his people. I'll let Paul in Colossians 1, the text we just read, sum up the New Testament's testimony of this. From the day we heard, we've not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will. And verse 11, Colossians 1, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy. That's a teaching plastered over the whole of the Bible. Think of it this way. God is an energetic God. He's full of strength and might, able to do all that he wants to do. And he is zealous to share that with us, to empower us to do his will. There's a certain sense in which all energy in this world is derived from God. We're not deists. We don't believe that the world just runs on its own. We believe that, as Hebrews says, Jesus Christ upholds the universe by the word of His power. So there's a sense in which everything that happens is sustained and energized by God. But there is a special sense in which God promises to share His strength with His people as they seek to serve Him. Paul would say, His power made glorious in their weakness. So that's the reason. That's the explanation for those many times, your own testimony, when you did it, you don't know how you did it. You didn't have the strength yourself. God shared with you His own. He renewed your strength. And it was by virtue of the communion that you have with Him. As Psalm 10 says, He strengthened your heart. I want this to be a great encouragement to you. Brothers and sisters, we're not at the mercy of our own human gas gauge. In your car, you ignore the gas gauge, and eventually you are officially out of gas. And where are you? You're on the side of the road. But the child of God has more than just the sources of energy that come with being human. The child of God has access to the strength of the Lord. God is able, Paul says, to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. But here's the most fundamental component of good stewardship of our energies. It's cultivating the kind of communion with God by which He imparts His strength. I don't care who you are, high energy, low energy, that's what will ultimately sustain you mentally, emotionally, even physically, and bring you to the greatest expression of your energies. All energy is ultimately spiritual. In that sense, as Jesus would have said it, the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. So in 2022, let's seek the strength of the Lord in all those times and all those means that He's provided to us, Sundays among them. What we're doing as we sit here, we're seeking to be renewed in our strength by coming into the presence of God. We have that privilege in lesser ways all through the week. Well, this has been a set of biblical principles about a certain kind of stewardship. I'm going to close by explaining the title that I chose for this sermon. It really unites all of these principles around the kind of devotion to Christ that leads to this kind of stewardship. It's the hymn, All for Jesus, and I'm going to have us sing that in just a moment. The first verse reads this way, All for Jesus. All for Jesus, all my being's ransomed powers. That word powers is the word, the same concept as energies. All my being's ransomed powers, all my thoughts and words and doings, all my days and all my hours. Not just for 2022, but I propose it for this year. Our motto, if you will, all our beings, ransom powers, making the most of whatever powers we have and we are given for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we ask you to make us good stewards of all you give us. We pray this would extend to our time and our money. But today especially we pray, grant us the stewardship of our human powers, our powers to think, to create, to build, to learn, all our human powers. We pray that you would make us good stewards, better even than 2021. We pray that you will show us how to grow in our strength by the principles of your word. And Lord Jesus, we pray, when by our own sin and failings, or just by being human, we come to the end of our strength, Lord Jesus, we pray, in mercy and grace, for your own name's sake, come and strengthen our hearts, strengthen our hands. We ask this for your own name's sake. Amen.